From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Trident Seafoods, one of the largest seafood processors in the country, announced on December 12th it's selling off about a third of its Alaska processing plants. It's been a tough year for the state's fisheries anyway, and as KMXT's Brian Venois reports, it's leaving everyone involved with more questions than answers.
Jerry Cobbin-Kanagan and her family have fished around Kodiak and sold harvest to Trident on and off for decades. She says the announcement was a huge shock for almost everyone on the island.
Speaking with management, there wasn't any heads up for anyone, and they decided, according to management, that they wanted full transparency so that the fleet would know.
The archipelago's Tanner crab season starts next month, but Kanagan says she's dismayed there seems to be little commitment for upcoming fishing seasons.
They will be buying Tanners, and they will be buying for the A season of pollock. They cannot expand on anything else past that. So we are salmon fishermen, and they cannot guarantee that they will be available for us to buy our salmon.
A spokesperson for Trident declined to verify if they will be buying Tanners or salmon and refused to comment further, saying they're focused on supporting their employees, fishermen, and partners at this time. In the press release last week, Trident wrote it would operate, quote, a significantly scaled back winter season in Kodiak, but did not provide any more information. Trident has a huge footprint in the community. The processing plant is one of the biggest buildings in the city's downtown and can process more than 1 million pounds of pollock a day. The company has been a part of the community for half a century and employs between 1 and 300 people, depending on what fishery they're processing. Pat Branson is the city of Kodiak's mayor. She says city officials didn't have any kind of advance notice that the processor would sell the Kodiak facility. Branson shared concerns for the Kodiak plant staff and families, especially going into the holiday season.
It's going to affect everyone, whether you're involved in the fishing business or not, because that's what our economic engine is here. So having a major player in our community like Trident putting their business up for sale is really a concern for all of us.
But Kodiak's not the only place Trident is selling assets. The company announced their facilities in False Pass, Petersburg, and Ketchikan are for sale as well. Bob Martin lives in Petersburg and sold fish to Trident for about 25 years. He says he was expecting Trident to shut down its plant nearby in Wrangell since it doesn't operate as often.
They'd skipped a few years and they fired that up. And I thought maybe they were running that just, you know, to make it more attractive to sell. I heard that rumor last year, but that was completely reverse situation because that's the one they seem to be hanging on to.
But the plants there mostly focus on salmon in the summer, so Martin says he has a bit more time to figure out what he's doing.
As hard as it was to hear, I guess I'm glad they told us now instead of, later. So it does give us time to curtail any extravagant spending and prepare for the worst.
Gunnar Knapp is an economist and has followed Alaska's fisheries for decades. He says he was about as shocked as everyone else when the announcement was made, but understands that Trident is in a tough spot.
In light of what we've heard people from Trident and other fish processing companies saying about the situation that they're facing, the challenges that they're facing with regard to their market, supply, demand, and that it's been a really, really tough time for them.
Knapp says Trident isn't the first Alaska seafood processor to sell plants and assets. He says historically many companies have struggled to maintain a viable business in the state's fisheries.
You've had many large processors that have sort of been dominant for decades, and then the markets change, and you have plants being bought and sold, and things change, and sort of new players emerge, and so on.
Kanagan, in Kodiak, says she would have liked to continue selling fish to Trident, but now that the plant she lives near is being sold, she has a lot of questions about job security.
So it raises a tremendous amount of uncertainty in our minds right now of whether or not we will have a market, The other processing plant have full fleets. So where does that leave the 45 boats that fish for Trident out of Kodiak? Where do we go? What do we do?
Kinnegan says Trident leaving the island paints a bleak picture for the seafood industry as a whole. Kodiak has three other processors in town that employ hundreds of people between them during peak seasons. It's currently unknown if Trident has any potential buyers for the Kodiak processing plant or any of its other plants listed for sale. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
And here is a report from KRBD's Jack Darrell. Bruce Schackler with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute says that Trident Seafood's announcement on December 12th that it is selling a third of its Alaska plants is indicative of a crisis in the seafood market that is years in the making. In a phone call, he called Trident's announcement a wake-up call for the public. Many in Ketchikan were caught off guard by the news. Garrett Vincent, a local Trident fisherman, says it's too early to tell what kind of impact the sale will have on the fleet. Vincent has been fishing for about 15 years and has had to adapt to market fluctuations. He says this isn't just a Trident problem, it's global.
It's a very volatile industry. I guess what is the difference is whether there's going to be a market for everybody to participate, you know.
Industry experts and community leaders agree that it's too soon to tell what impact this will have on the community. Gunnar Knapp is the director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He says that right now for Ketchikan, there are only questions.
How soon might a buyer be found? What would be that buyer's plans? And how soon would it take to bring them into effect? What will Trident do between now and when a buyer is found?
But for Knapp and Ketchikan, there are no easy answers to these questions.
Even the very best scenario, which is the buyer is found and the buyer smoothly picks up the operation and so on, that would be sort of the very best scenario. And that would be disruptive to plant employees and the fishermen and the community.
Local representatives of the Trident plant in Ketchikan could not immediately be reached for comment. Trident spokesperson Alexis Teffler says that management has been meeting with employees of their closing plants. She declined to comment further, saying the company was focused on its employees and fishing fleets at this time.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Russia will no longer be able to sell seafood to U.S. markets after processing products through other countries. That's the gist of an executive order President Biden signed to close a loophole after the federal government banned direct seafood imports from Russia last year. Senator Gary Stevens is president of the Alaska State Senate and represents fishing communities like Kodiak, Homer, and Cordova.
It's really been unfair, and I'm glad it's going to be resolved here. And, you know, it just really has an impact on everyone in Kodiak, both with the processors and the fishermen and the workers in the plants and all that. You know, it'll just make a level field that we can all fairly deal with.
Fisheries have been struggling this year, and marketing executives and processors alike have blamed Russia for flooding markets with its seafood as a major reason for low prices offered to Alaska fishermen. The initial ban on Russian seafood was enacted after the country invaded Ukraine. While Russian seafood processors have been unable to directly export products to the United States since then, they've gotten around the ban by having fish processed or significantly modified in other countries like China. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan says he's been working on closing this loophole since the initial ban on Russian seafood.
A long overdue win for Alaskan fishermen, American fishermen, for sustainable and environmentally sound fisheries, for the numerous coastal communities in Alaska that support our fishing fleet.
Sullivan says this opens a huge market for domestic seafood producers to fill demand and hopes it will help raise prices for Alaska fishermen.
We have plenty of fish in Alaska that can source any of these products that you need.
Sullivan also touted Alaska's standards for environmental protection and labor reputation when compared to its Russian and Chinese counterparts. He said, now no new contracts can be signed to import Russian seafood from other countries. He also said that any existing contracts must be fulfilled or surrendered within the next 60 days. Thank you to KMXT's Brian Venua for that story.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
At its last meeting, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council made its final recommendations for changes to the active participation requirements for holding sea shares or crew quota shares in the Bering Sea Aleutian Islands Crab Rationalization Program. Sea shares were created as a way for working fishermen to obtain crab quota, which gives the holder access rights to the fishery. Sea share holders are required to show that they are actively participating in the fishery, forcing non-participants to divest or lose their quota. The idea is that the quota is always available to the next generation of working fishermen. Unfortunately, COVID restrictions and then closures of the snow and king crab fisheries have made it difficult for working fishermen to continue to participate, and the council was forced to begin revoking their privileges. The new action recommended by the council will push the reset button on participation and reissue all revoked quota. It will also loosen the rules on what is considered active participation. Any participation in any fishery in Alaska will count, even crewing on a tender. One option they did not choose was to remove participation requirements altogether. This was thought to be counter to the intent of keeping sea shares in the hands of working fishermen. They also chose not to suspend participation requirements when stock levels dropped to a certain level. The council decided this way was just too tricky to administer, and if fisheries remain low, would essentially also remove the participation requirement.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.